let's turn to chapter 9 again, Daniel chapter 9. So, verses 24 to 27. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. So, as I pointed out last time, in order for us to understand this most important prophecy, and it really is an important prophecy, this, it's absolute classic, most important prophecy, well, there are certain details we have to sort out first. The main one, as I said last week, being these 70 weeks, which are, as you understand from just reading it, are broken down further into three. There's 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and 1 week. And so this is what we started to do last time. And last time we saw that the word that's translated weeks here, if you use an authorised version, authorised King James version, or you use a New King James version like I have, then the word here is weeks. If you use an NIV, the word is sevens, which I pointed out to you last week is a more accurate translation. The Hebrew word is shabuas, and a shabua simply means a seven. And as I pointed out last week, in the Hebrew mind, that could mean 7 days, or it could mean 7 years. So here we've got 70 sevens. So it's either going to mean 70 times 7 days, which will be 490 days, or it's going to mean 70 times 7 years, which will be 490 years. So to understand this prophecy, it's absolutely crucial to determine which it is, whether it's 490 days or whether it's 490 years. Not least because we're told in verses 25 and 26 that from the going forth of a command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah is revealed, there will be 69 of these sevens. Okay? In other words, this is telling us exactly when Messiah would come. Gabriel, sent from God, is telling Daniel exactly when the Messiah would be revealed. See? So, from the issuing of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, which, as we saw last week, was in the month of Nisan in the year 445 BC, until Messiah the Prince, there would either be 490 days or 490 years, whichever it is. And so, as I hope we established last week, it's obviously 490 years. Okay? So, 70 shabuas, 70 sevens of years, 490 years are determined, Daniel, for your people and for your holy city, it says, to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, in a sense, it was unfortunate that we finished where we did last week, because the trouble with that is you lose your train of thought. And on something like this, you've basically got to keep your eye on the ball, basically, or you lose it. Of course, the other side of that is, there's so many details, it's hard to kind of take it in one. So possibly, if we didn't revise what we did last week, you're just going to have to listen to the recording or whatever. But tonight, what I want us to do is I want us to go a little bit further with this now. And I want us to look particularly at what happened, at the end of 69 of these weeks of years. Okay? The events of the 70th week, the last 7 years, we're going to leave till next time. Because again, it's too much to look at in one. I know there's only four Bible verses here, but there's that much in them. It's astonishing, really. So we'll leave the 70th week, the final 7 years, until next time. Okay, but before we start, I have to tell you that there are a lot of complications with this. There really are. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try my best to make this as simple as possible. Okay, what I want you to do is try and stay awake. By making it as simple as possible, I admit, and that's why I'm saying this at this point, that if you start to study into the complexities of all this, it's very confusing and very difficult. If anybody wants to, then what I suggest you do is get a copy of, for example, Sir Robert Anderson's book, The Coming Prince, and study that, or go online, and there'll be lots of things about the dating of the 70 weeks. Go on there and have a look at different points of view. But because we're kind of a mixed group here, it would be unrealistic to start going into the complexity. So I admit I'm making this as simple as I possibly can, and I'm sorry if it's still a bit complicated. But try and think of what God's doing here. Try and think of it like this. When our kids were growing up, and it's actually the same with the grandchildren now, when it's coming towards something like one of the birthdays, or when it's coming to Christmas, you know, they would say when they were younger, how long, Mum, or how long, Grandad, Mum, Dad, how long, Grandad, Grandma, till my birthday? You know, how many days? And now, Grace is a bit older, right, and she works it out. And, we would sort of say to them, well, you know, seven more bedtimes and then it'll be your birthday. Or, you know, seven more days, then it's your birthday. But now Grace is obsessed. It's her birthday on the 27th of March, right? And for about the last 3 weeks, every time I see her, she's been telling me exactly how many days before her birthday. Now, I didn't see her today, but if I'd seen her today, I guarantee she would have said to me, Grandad, it's the 9th of March today, my birthday is the 27th of March, that means 18 more days and it will be my birthday. What's she doing? She's calculating on the basis of what date it is now and what date her birthday is, she's calculating exactly how long it's going to be until the great day, okay? Well, actually, that's all this is, really. That's all this is. This is God showing his people exactly when Messiah will come. Except the great day that this is talking about is a day that is infinitely greater and more important than anybody's birthday. Okay? This is God giving us a mechanism, or giving his people the mechanism to calculate when Messiah would be born. That's what's so wonderful about this passage, okay? So, as I say, the day that God is talking about here, that he's giving them the means to calculate when it will be, has to do with the time, verse 24, when God will finish transgression, make an end of sins, bring about reconciliation between himself and his people through the work of Messiah. It has to do with the things that make for their peace. That's why this is so important. Okay, so we've established the fact that these are Shabuas of years, sevens of years. We're dealing with a period of 490 years, divided into three parts. Seven sevens, which is 49 years. 62 sevens, verse 25, that is 434 years. And 1 7, verse 27. That is 7 years, making a total of 490 years. Are you all with me so far? sticking with it. It's a bit hot in here. I don't know whether we need certain radiators down for this. So, this evening, as I said, we're not going to be thinking about the last 7 years. We're going to leave that for next time. We're just going to be thinking about the 69, the first 69 years, or rather, events that happen at the end of the 69th year. God doesn't say anything much about what happens during those 69 years. He tells us what happens at the beginning, but more importantly, it's all about what happens at the end of the 69 years. That's the important thing, you see. So what this is telling us is that from the going forth of a command to restore and build Jerusalem, which, as we saw, was in the month Nisan of the year 445 BC, until the Messiah the Prince, there are 483 years. Then it says, in verse 26, he would be cut off, but not for himself. And cut off means killed. That's what it means. But not for himself, it says. In other words, he isn't going to be killed for his own sin, because he didn't have any sin. Not for his own sin, but he would be killed. That's what this is telling us. Now, in working out this calculation, of course, we start from the vantage point that actually we know who the Messiah is, don't we? It's Jesus of Nazareth. It's Jesus the Messiah. We know him. Of course, from Daniel's point of view, he didn't know him as you do, but in faith he believed he would come. He was a man of faith. But all he knows is that God is going to send him, and he knows what various others of the prophets have said concerning him, and God's telling him. But we have the vantage point of knowing who he is. It's Jesus Christ, and we know when he lived, don't we? And we know when he died. When do you think you were born, by the way? You're not. Was that, well, I don't mean what time of year. I mean what year? Do you think he was born in the year naught? Because actually, because we have BC and AD, don't we? BC is before Christ. AD is Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. So naturally speaking, you would think he was born in the year naught, but he wasn't. He got the calculation wrong. Jesus was nothing to do with this study. Jesus was probably born about 3 or 4 BC. As we reckon time. How do you know that? Because Herod the Great died before the year naught, as we calculate it. The monk, whoever he was, who calculated, got it wrong. Okay. So Jesus was born about 3 or 4 BC, as a matter of fact. People have different opinions about that. But you can tell because of the Bible's very specific about who were governors of this place and who were the governor of that place. And Herod the Great, of course, you know, he was the one who instituted the murder of all the baby boys, because he didn't want, you know, well, he died, I think, if my memory serves me right, it was about 1 BC, Herod the Great died, Jesus must have been born before then. Okay, so anyway, that's besides, I've lost me. Okay, so yeah, we know when he lived, and we know when he died, don't we? Although, people have different opinions about exactly which year he died, you know. Usually, the main opinions are either 30 AD, 32 or 33. And them are the usual views. But roughly speaking, we know when he lived anyway, don't we? Even if we don't know the exact year in that sense. Question is, does it equate? When it says here, there will be 483 years from the going forth of this order to build Jerusalem, which we said was in 445 BC, to the time of Messiah, to when Messiah was revealed, does it equate? Is it 483 years? Okay. The trouble is, this isn't quite as simple as grace calculating when how many days to a birthday. Not quite as simple as that. Unfortunately, certain things have happened since Daniel was alive that have thrown a bit of a spanner in the works, really, of complication, you see. And that's why I don't want to go into detail about that, or otherwise it'll just, like, we'll all just think, ugh. You know, we'll lose everybody, okay. But the complications are mainly to do with the calendar, you see. And if I start to talk about the complexities of calendar dates and how the calendar changes, I'll say it'll just lose everybody. Suffice it to say that the calendar we use, in fact, the way we organise our calendar is different than the Hebrew calendar that Daniel went by. Okay. The calendar that we currently use is called the Gregorian calendar, and it's named after Pope Gregory the 13th, who instituted it, first of all, in 1582, although not everybody took it up at that particular time. That's when he first instituted it. And ours is what's called a solar calendar, and it's based on the number of days it takes the Earth to go around the Sun. Okay, which is roughly speaking 365 and a quarter days. It's slightly less than that, but 365 and a quarter days it takes the Earth to go around the Sun, and that's where we get our year. So we have a 365 day year, don't we? But not always, because every 4 years we have a 366 day year, and we call it a leap year. Why do we do that? We do it because it takes 365 and a quarter days for the Earth to go around the Sun. So to catch up, we put in an extra day to solve out the variance, you see. Are you with me?
Yeah.
That's what we do. The Hebrew calendar, though, was a lunar calendar which had 12 months of 30 days, making a year of 360 days. And what they did, they made adjustments from time to time to compensate, which you might think, actually, every now and again, they stuck in an extra month. You know, so you might think that's ridiculous, but it isn't, because we do it.
Yeah.
We do it every 4 years. We just stick in one day. Well, they had a 360-day year, and they stuck in extra days here and there to compensate. So they're all doing the same thing. Are you with me? Is it just a different time? But their year was 360 days. That's the point. So the details of this prophecy are given then on the basis of the calendar that Daniel used. If he used our calendar, it would be, the information would be given on the basis of that. But if God was going to tell you something was going to happen, and he said to you, such and such will happen in exactly 1 year, convert it to days, what would you do? You would say, in 365 days, such and such is going to happen. But if God said to Daniel, such and such is going to happen in 1 year, convert it to days, what would he do? He'd have 360 days, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Do you see? So this is where the complication comes in. And so what God says here to Daniel, 483 years, or 69 years, the sevens, right? It wouldn't be a problem to Daniel at all. It's a problem to us, because we've changed the calendar several times since, and we have a different kind of calendar. So what that means is, when you talk about 483 years, you can't think in terms of 483 years of 365 days, because it won't then equate. Do you get it? That's the problem. So what I propose to do then, in an effort to make this slightly more simple, I hope, is instead of talking about 69 weeks, or 69 Shabuas, or 483 years, I'm going to convert the 483 years to days, and so we'll think about them as days. That way, we don't have to think about calendars at all, do we? So, we're not confusing ourselves with the complexities of converting calendars. And as I say, if anybody wants to go, you know, to nth degree and study this in depth, you can. You can go online and do that, or you can get a book or whatever. So then, 483 prophetic years of 360 days equals 173,880 days in total. Alright? 173,880 days. So So the start date then is the first day of the month Nisan, 445 BC, which in our calendar equates to the 14th of March, 445 BC. Alright, that's the start date. The question is, for us, if you project forward 173,890 days, beginning with the 14th of March, 445 BC, where does it bring you to? And is there anything significant that happened on that particular day? On the 173,880th day, is there anything significant that took place? See, according to this prophecy, it should bring us to some date, some event, when Messiah the Prince was publicly revealed to Israel. You see, verse 25, "Know therefore, understand, that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 173,880 days." What it's saying. Okay. So the question now is, when was Christ publicly and officially revealed as Messiah the Prince? When was Jesus officially and publicly revealed as Messiah? Actually, it wasn't on the day of his birth, although the angels proclaimed it. I'm talking about when he was publicly, officially revealed as such. Actually, it was on the day that we call Palm Sunday. So if you turn with me to Luke's Gospel in chapter 19, I'll just read verses 37 to 44. And this is that particular day when Jesus had rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. So if we pick it up then at verse 37. "Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him in the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and said to them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as they drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Okay? So that was what we call Palm Sunday. Now of course, before that day ever arrived, there were people who believed that Jesus was the Messiah, weren't there? I mean, for example, if you look at Matthew chapter 16, famously, the Apostle Peter said this, when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" You know, Peter said this, verse 16, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So in other words, Peter, and this is before Palm Sunday, well before Palm Sunday, Peter says, "I know who you are, you're the Messiah." Christ simply means Messiah. He knew that, but go down to verse 20. "Then he commanded his disciples that they should not tell anyone that he was Jesus the Christ." Well, why not? If he is, why not tell somebody? And actually, sometimes, he went somewhere, Jesus, and demons cried out, and they said, "We know who you are." And he would not allow them to speak. Well, why not, if he's the Christ? In fact, there were times when people actually wanted to make Jesus king. In other words, to proclaim him and crown him Messiah. But he wouldn't allow it. John chapter 6 and verse 15 says, "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." He wouldn't allow it. Why not? because it wasn't time. But then when we come to this day, 4 days before he's crucified, what we call Palm Sunday, it's almost like he went out of his way to arrange it. He told his disciples to go where they could find the donkey and everything else, and it's almost like he arranged it all. And then notice what he says in Luke 19 verse 42, if you had known, even you, especially on this your day, the things that make for your peace. What is he talking about? What did he mean? What he meant was, this was the day. This was the day spoken of by Angel Gabriel to Daniel. The day that the 173,880 days came to an end. This was the day when Messiah, Prince, was revealed to Israel. This is the day. The day when he came to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. How? By being cut off, by being killed, by being sacrificed for sin. In other words, accomplishing those things that made for their peace. If you had known, on this your day, the things that make for your peace. Do you see what he's saying? The day when he came was the day he fulfilled prophecy. He fulfilled this prophecy in Daniel chapter 9 that gives the specific and exact date. He fulfilled that prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9 verse 9 that says, behold, your king comes lowly and riding on a donkey. Zechariah 9 verse 9. He fulfills that prophecy in Psalm 118 verse 26 when it actually even states the very things that people would proclaim as he came. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so he comes exactly fulfilling all of these things. Well, do we know the date when that happened? Well, again, there are various views about even the year that Jesus died. And as I said earlier, in the main, there's three. There's 30 AD, 32 or 33 are the ones that are most often put forward as the date. But if we take the 32 AD date, as I said last week, I'm going off Sir Robert Anderson's calculations here. Take it or leave it if you want. But I'm following Sir Robert Anderson's calculations, then Palm Sunday, as we call it, in the year 32 AD was on the 6th of April. And according to Sir Robert Anderson, if you include the day 14th of March 445 BC and you include the date 6th of April 32 AD, in other words, inclusive, right, there is, the calculation works out that there are a total of, yes, you've guessed it, 173,880 days from the going forth of an order to restore and build Jerusalem in 445 BC to the coming of Messiah, to the day Messiah was revealed on what we call Palm Sunday. 69 years. Weeks and years, as per Daniel. And the point is, you see, the exact date of the revelation of Israel's Messiah is given here. That's the whole point. It's the exact date. This is why Jesus said, if you had known, even you, this your day, and the things that made for your peace. They didn't know. They didn't know. So actually, whether you accept Sir Robert Anderson's calculations or not, the fact is that Jesus is saying this is the termination date. So if anybody knows, he does. Okay. So whether you agree with people, because some Christians don't. So if you don't believe in Robert Anderson, it doesn't matter. Jesus said this is the day. So this is it. And the fact is, you see, they should have known it. It is harder for us because we've changed the calendar, I don't know how many times. But they should have known it. In fact, some of them did know. They did know at least the time of Messiah was near. And that's why if you look at Luke's Gospel in chapter 2, when shortly after Jesus was born, and his mother and Joseph took him to Jerusalem to do what the law required, then it tells us there that there was this man called Simeon. And it says there in verse 25, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." He knew that the time of Christ was near. He knew he lived, most likely, in the generation when the Messiah would be born. And then you look a little bit further down and go to verse 36. "There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem." So these were people who knew the time of Christ was near. Well, how did they know? They knew because of Daniel's prophecy. That's how they knew. They might not have been able, you know, to work out the precise day, although they could have done. But they knew that it must be soon because of Daniel's prophecy, you see. And this is why there is no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved. Because only Christ fulfills all the criteria, the prophetic criteria. He fulfills every prophecy in detail, including the exact date when he was to come. And nobody else came on that day. That's why I said last week, there have been some notable Jews in history who've come to believe Jesus is Messiah just because of Daniel 9. Because they realised it could only possibly be him. You know? And to me, this is absolutely amazing, this prophecy. But really, you know, it shouldn't be that amazing. I say that because God knows everything. So obviously he knew the day. And it's no great thing for God to be able to tell us the date. If God chose to, he could give us the exact date of the rapture, you know. He could give us the exact date of the second coming if he chose to. It's just that because of his own wisdom, he's chosen not to reveal that date. And the main reason is he wants us to always be ready in every generation. But you see, he could if he wanted to, because he knows the end from the beginning and everything in between. You see, it's no great thing for him. And so here he did reveal it. He revealed the precise day. But the vast majority of the Jews, the people of Israel, were ignorant of the fact. Blinded, you see, by their own prejudice and their own sin. Sin and prejudice blind you to truth, which is what led to the fulfillment of the next part of this exact prophecy. Because it says, after 62 weeks, that is to say, after 7 plus 62 weeks, in other words, 69 weeks, in other words, after 173,880 days, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Cut off, as I said earlier, means killed. And he was. Just 4 days after Palm Sunday, when they put palms on the road before him and shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." You know, 4 days after that, on the 10th of April, 32 AD, Jesus was crucified. And incidentally, that was a Thursday. It wasn't a Friday. Can't have died on Friday. Well, that's another story. So 4 days after they hailed him king, he was crucified. Not for himself, not for any sin that he'd committed. He'd not committed any. Mm-hmm. Which Pilate freely acknowledged. And Herod freely acknowledged. And Judas admitted it was true. "I have betrayed innocent blood." And even those who sentenced him, they knew, really, that he was innocent, and that's why they were trumped up charges. He died for our sins. He died, as Daniel puts it, to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to make peace through the blood of his cross. And that's exactly what he did, and he did it right on time. Precisely right on time. But what comes next, very quickly before we close, I'm talking about in this particular prophecy. Well, it says in verse 26, after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now, it's important to understand that the prince who is to come, referred to in verse 26, is not the same as Messiah the prince in verse 25. It's a different person. And we're going to look at who he is next week, this prince who is to come. But what we're told here is that his people, the people of this coming prince, not the Messiah, this coming prince, are the ones that shall destroy the sanctuary after Messiah has been cut off. The sanctuary is the temple. Well, did it happen? Was the temple destroyed? Yes, it was. We know it was. It was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans under the leadership of General Titus. Now, that's going to be significant when we come to look at the final part of this prophecy, what happens in the final week, or the last 7 years. In between, though, in between the end of the 69th week and the commencement of the 70th week, there's a gap, which some people struggle with. But in the gap, it says in verse 26, there will be desolations are determined, it says. And that really is talking about what Jesus referred to, first of all, at the end of that passage we read earlier in Luke chapter 19. He says, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. That's when the temple was destroyed. That's what happened to the Jews in Jerusalem. And then it goes on to say, Luke chapter 21. He goes on to say then, verse 24, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. So this is what happens after Jerusalem is destroyed by the Romans and the sanctuary, that they're taken up and spread into all nations, the Jewish people that is. And then it says, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So in other words, for many, many years, desolations are determined for Jerusalem and for the people of God. But all of that is going to come to an end sometime soon. And the 70th week, the last 7 years, is yet to begin, but in my mind, it can't be that far off. So for me, I mean, that's as far as it goes tonight. To me, it's an amazing prophecy, because of the precise details of it. And the thing about it is this, just one last thing before we close. If everything up to the end of the 69th week, and what happened to Jesus at the end of the 69th week, was fulfilled so precisely and so literally, then you can be assured that whatever it tells us will happen in the 70th week will be fulfilled with equal...
Amen.
Accuracy and detail. Yeah.